Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Cardistry Talk. This is episode 54, and before we begin the episode, I just want to let you guys know that the CardistryTalk.com website has opened, and we are selling Season 3 bags right now, so make sure to head over to there if you want one of those. Today, I'm joined by Jorge Sanders, who is another amazing member of the community. Last week, we interviewed Linus Schmidt of Koma Rebbe. Jorge is also working on Koma Rebbe and is a video editor, a creative in the cardistry space, and recently just released a video called More with Koma Rebbe. Jorge, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. This is really exciting.
Yeah, this is going to be a really exciting one. Recently, we had Linus on. We've had Parker on before. So getting pretty much everybody in the Koma Rebbe circle involved and hearing your guys' insights is a really fun thing to do. The first thing I kind of want to open up with is just, I just want to know kind of how you got into cardistry, how long you've been doing it, and just kind of your experience of how you got into the hobby.
Yeah, so I got into magic. I remember like there was one specific dude who taught me a card trick. So I was in like sixth grade or something. And by the time I was in eighth grade, I found cardistry, Zach Mueller on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Totally got into cardistry. I still messed with magic, like, up until recently, like, worked in a magic store, but cardistry, like, my journey was, like, I met some local cardists who at the time were, like, Billy Markovsky, I met Maury, and I met Leo. There was a few other people. Stan every now and then, and just jamming with them, like, that was sort of how I learned about even the people create moves, like kind of that there was a culture behind it, you know, finding all the really, really dope videos. And I actually didn't meet Linus for a really, really long time. But when I finally met Linus, we like instantly started making videos together. And that's sort of when I started to take cardistry seriously. Because up until that point, it was really like a side thing thrown in with like all these other hobbies and like different art projects that I wanted to do. But like, I don't know, cardistry and video together, like that's my passion, is making cardistry videos. Whether it's like me making moves or I really, really have the most fun when I'm making a video of somebody else or like a jam video or something. So yeah, that's sort of like the whole journey.
Oh, yeah, awesome. I think it's really interesting there. You met Linus and how you say that you like almost filming cardistry more than necessarily creating is a very interesting standpoint. So now that you've met Linus and you guys have been creating, how exactly did Koma Rebbe come about and kind of how has that journey been going for you guys?
Yeah, it's really, really weird. So me and Linus just started filming videos and we kind of had a similar aesthetic goal. Like we sort of had a similar vibe that we wanted to capture. But I never personally wanted to start a brand. And Linus was already into designing decks. I really loved the decks that Linus designed. And I think Louisiana's kind of started to get sort of a following, like, before they were out. Just Linus using them. And then I posted with them a lot. And we all just sort of, like, encouraged him to work with it. I think he always wanted to work with it. But it just all of a sudden was, like, all there. He was, like, you know, I think Parker said something similar on you guys' interview. He sort of was just like, you're with me? And I was like, yes. And I was just on board. It wasn't kind of like, you know. And that's what's really interesting with Linus. He's always kind of a step ahead. It feels like it came out of nowhere. It feels like one day I was sort of sitting at home, cardistry, like I said, was a hobby. I was creating moves, but I was creating moves for me. Like the moves that I created before Koma Rebbe was a brand were really just for fun. But Koma Rebbe gave a few of us a platform that we sort of never really expected to come our way. Like we were always looking at, oh, maybe one day I'll do a Fontaine video. But that's what's so cool about Koma Rebbe. It's like the ground floor. It'll just come up from behind you. You know, I love that we work with younger, like less known cardists, because that's usually who has the really, really great next idea, is the guy who hasn't been doing it long enough to know how hard it is. A good example is Quentin. Like Quentin, like I think Quentin, just jamming with Quentin and me and Linus and Quentin and other New York heads like Trevor, Tiro, jamming. I think that was the genesis of Comer Abbey, is just like seeing what other people can do.
I think it's really cool that you guys have focused on a lot of up and comers, like with the video making that you guys have done. I know you guys have had Brahm and Eric Artistry on, who are people that have been on the podcast before that I really enjoyed talking with. And the video you guys did with Jack is one of my favorites from that year. That was a really, really great video. So it's really awesome to see you guys highlighting some of these lesser known cardists or ones that are just kind of up and coming. I think that's really awesome for them because they get to, you know, feel a part of something bigger. Because not everybody now is going to be able to like be in a Fontaine video or like be in these massive, massive videos. It's kind of cool that we're seeing different levels of cardistry kind of popping up, and you guys really filling into a niche that's missing right now. So I think that's really cool. One of the most recent videos you guys have put out has been the video featuring you, which is more kind of featuring the new deck. What was the process like kind of making those moves, and how was filming that video? How was that whole process for more?
Yeah, so my last video, it was 2021, so it wasn't that long ago, but it just felt like a long time. It was basically a whole year's worth of moves. Moves that at one point I wanted to compete with, but I didn't get into the trials. There hasn't been CCC in several years. So these were moves that I was like saving sort of for like competitive purposes or just to make a big fat solo video. Mm-hmm. And I kept saving until it was that many moves. I mean, there was more than 20 moves that I even had on a list, and I had to pick the best ones. I don't recommend it. I think in the future, I'm always going to like make 5 moves, make 10 moves and shoot them. Because the practice regimen for filming that was so hard that there was reschedules of filming. We had to film in like 2 separate portions. So more actually came about from changes of plans and from delayed shooting. And, but it was 20 moves that I was so proud of. I didn't want to break them up and save them for another year. And I wanted them all to come out in one big video because there's a progression. And then something I will point out, since I don't think it's like well known, and I didn't like explicitly say it anywhere, is the another thing about the video is the complexity of the moves increases. So they're sort of chronological. Like the last one is sort of more recent than the first one, and it starts with a 4-packet cut, goes to 5s, and then it you know, if you count single cards, each cut has more surfaces and faces and more complexity. So, and that was just sort of to echo like how it felt. It was like a frantic video. It was like a video I started out, I just wanted to make a small video, and it's just more moves and more ideas. And Adam Kirchman volunteered to film it. And I think I originally turned it down. I wanted Linus to film it. It was just so many changes of plans. And yeah, and it became over a year's work, just like culminated into that.
Mm-hmm. I think from the way you describe it, I think more would is a really good title of how you kind of described how it was made, and also that rising complexity. I know I watched the video yesterday before doing the interview, and I didn't really notice the rising in complexity. That's something, now that you point out to it, I see it, but I didn't notice it when I was watching it. So it's kind of cool to see that kind of underlying theme was there that whole time.
There's one thing I will add to that, like why we called the video more. One of the things that we do in Comer Abbey, and I think lots of creatives do this, and I don't think I'm giving away any secret sauce here, but as collaborators, it's not just like, we don't just say, hey, that's good, I really like that. If something's really good and it could be better, we let them know. And I let people know that a lot. And it's good to hear that advice. When somebody says, do more, you should try to do more. And I think that's how the video ended up so massive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's what you're saying there too is like, it's super important to have somebody that can like tell you that what you made could be better, or there's ways that it could be enhanced. I know in the past when like I've shown people podcast videos or just like unboxing videos, videos that I make for the channel, I always am like, hey, what's some feedback? And most of the time I don't get back anything that's like helpful. It's always like, good job, or I liked it. And like finding the people that can tell you like, this could be better, or like, these are things that you can work on. I think that's so important. It's finding the right people to balance those questions off of. And I think that that's really awesome that you have that there at Coma Rebbe.
It's everything. Like, I think feedback is really, really important. And I ask for very specific feedback, and I take care to ask people who I admire for feedback and to really listen in on things other than I like it or good or, you know, the person who has a suggestion or just saying they don't like something, they're giving you so much. I'll get into it with people if I don't agree with them. But if I ask for your comment on my work and it's a negative one, I expect, you know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful, and I'm going to work on it.
Yeah. It's a really hard thing to balance too, because I don't think most people, like when they're like a friend gives them something that they worked on, you don't want to be too negative or discourage them, especially if it is, there's potential there. But I think it's a really hard thing to balance, but it's a very, very important thing to get the people that you trust that you can get their opinions on.
And there's another thing in the community, like specifically in like the packet cutting community. Not that many people do it, but there's some people who do it. You can't tell somebody who made something just now that it sucks, because you haven't seen it in its full form. When somebody shows you an idea and asks for feedback, it's not good, it's not the answer. Maybe it lacks purpose, or I'm not getting the point isn't coming across. But I try not to. If somebody shows me something, I mean, if I'm telling you it's really not good, there's, you know, I can't think of an example of when I would tell somebody, oh, that's not. I would just keep it in. Mm-hmm. But it's good to, if you can help somebody.
You know. Yeah. And that's why I really respect some people in the community, like Beckett, I think, is a good example of this, who isn't afraid to really give some really really good critical feedback and like explaining in depth what he's thinking. Yeah.
He knows what's bad. The move is bad doesn't exist. That's like saying the painting's bad. It can't be. It can be bad to you, but what's bad is this habit, this tick, this flow change or whatever.
Yeah.
That could be bad.
Yeah, breaking it down to like the nitty-gritty, the really specifics, I think that's something that like I was saying, Beckett's really good at, and something I'm not the best at, because I oftentimes I'll see a move and I'll be like, there's something I don't like about it, but I can't tell you what it is. That's always super frustrating. So like the people that have that ability to point those things out, those specifics, I think it's pretty rare, and I think it's really cool when people are able to do that. And hopefully I'll get to that point at some point. Because it's so important for feedback and to being judged. I know recently I did a uncut cardistry tournament, and I think that's something I really, with the judges, I wanted to try to make sure we were giving them the feedback so they could improve their rounds and they can improve like every aspect, because I think that's a very important part of a tournament and challenging yourself, which was the whole point of it, is, you know, being specific and finding those small things. One thing that I want to talk to you about that I think is really awesome that's happening, that you guys have done a little bit, dabbled in, is kind of multiple people doing cardistry. So recently you've done a lot of two people moves like Lane 25 and JSLS, which I think are really, really cool concepts and proof of concepts. What is kind of your thoughts on multiple people doing cardistry, and how do you think this kind of trend will progress as we keep going?
So it's something that I've always wanted to do, and I think Linus always wanted to do it too. And it's something like, I can't even remember when we started working on it, but JSLS came about like really fast. It just had to be done. I don't think, uh, so I'll just say it. There's a few in the works. Me and Linus have something that's okay, and then there's some other people around here on the East Coast that are working on some really cool, like, two-person moves. So there's more in the future, and they're going to be crazy. And you might see them through Komorebi, maybe. But the coolest hasn't been done. The coolest so far, like, ours are all right, but remember in Fontaine, fam,
Yeah.
that, like, that's what I was trying to top. Like, if I could get on a level as the Phobos Deimos, that's maybe one of my favorite moments in cardistry. So we're really just trying to get to that level, but with packet cuts, because that's our element. Like, packet cuts are what we know. It's where we're most comfortable. So yeah, and it's especially fun when we've played matchmaker, so we're like, you should make a two-person cut with them. Sometimes it happens, and sometimes it doesn't. Me and Trevor Tiro made one in like less than an hour. It was like a two people, one hand each on a table, and it was really, really fun.
Yeah, when it comes to like these multiple people cardistry, my brain always goes to that Fontaine towards the end of the Fontaine fam video as well. I'm pretty sure I've mentioned that on the podcast before that. I think that's a great example of
Who
multiple
doesn't
people
want to do that? Like,
doing
everybody
cardistry.
wishes they had a homie that could do that.
Yeah, but I think that's an aspect of cardistry that's really unexplored, and I think there could be a lot of fruitful moves and kind of ideas coming from that space. I think it would be really cool if we got like almost my brain goes to under it's underwater synchronized dancing
Yeah,
underwater the synchronized underwater dancing
yeah.
almost something like that or like a kaleidoscope where you have multiple people doing like similar things. Like I think we could get a ton of people in on something and it would be incredible,
It'd
but
be
I
really cool if there was just a repetitive motion that many as many people as you like could do, and it would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think there's just so much unexplored about multiple people cardistry. And I think it'll be really fun to see you guys and more people in the future exploring it. Hopefully COVID slows down and restrictions slow down and stuff like that, we'll be able to have more people meet up. I think it would be really amazing if there's like people that live really close together can get together and like just make almost like an entire video of two people moves. I think that'd be incredible and would be.
It's something that I've had a dream of doing for a really long time, and it's something I thought I would have already done. Like, I really planned on doing it. But two people making multiple, like, two people making a move together takes twice as long as one person making a move. Actually, it can take a really long time, depending on how often you can meet up and how willing you both are to, like, because you can only practice together. Weird. So strange.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting if we can eventually get to that point.
I hope more people try it. I think I saw a really good one in the Northwest. I think it was Sky and somebody, I forget at the moment. Maybe Sky Soul.
Yeah, Russell. I don't know how to say his name, but yeah, he's a really good cardist out of Seattle as well. But I think there's just so much untapped potential there, and I think you guys have proved that. I think Lane 25 was the one that a lot more people saw, maybe.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that one I kind of like the other one more, but Lane 25 is crazy and it's so much fun to do. Yeah, we haven't done that like low key since we filmed.
It would be really interesting if there was ever like a cardistry couple, like if they could do really good stuff with that in that
Well,
end.
we always talk about that. We always talk about that.
Another popular question I got when I put onto my story what people would like to hear about was kind of just more information about music and your music background, because that's another hobby that you seem to enjoy and have put a lot of time into. So a couple people asked, one is if there's going to be new music dropping soon. I guess that's the first one that was asked.
The short answer is yes, because I'm like really making a lot of music now and it's like good, But the long answer is I don't make the same kind of music as the last stuff that I put out. So I've gone through like a lot of phases, and I used to make like hip hop, like rap music, and I was the one rapping. And I sort of moved on from that and got really, really into like techno. It's like a huge switch. So like the short answer is yes, but it's gonna be like probably like under my like real name instead of under some like obscure alias like I usually do. I'm getting really proud of the music that I'm finally making. It took years of making like music that I didn't like. I mean, I liked it when I was making it, and then I would just get over it and try to make something better. And now I'm like, I'm just over the whole thing, and I'm making stuff that like I just really want it. Like, rather for somebody else to hear music that I just like to hear.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know that's something I didn't really know about, which I'm eager to hear kind of what you've made, whether maybe you don't want me to, but we'll find out.
You can find it very easily, but I don't think I'm gonna speak about it on the platform.
That's totally okay. One question that I had regarding music, someone asked what they think what you think the best music to make Cardistry to is. And I actually have some input on this as well.
Yeah, it's funny because I think it's whatever you like. There are some things that are better than others. Okay, so music to create to, I think can be high paced, whatever really gets you going. Right now for me, it's like techno and house music, but I know at one point it was hip hop. I know at one point it's been many things over the years, but whatever like gets you going. But music to practice, then you want to go with something maybe more down tempo, maybe something instrumental that can fade into the background a little bit. Practicing is kind of like studying, and I would listen to the same kind of music I would listen to when I'm studying. And creating is more like working out or having fun. You put on fun.
I agree for the most part. I know something that's worked really well for me in the past when I try to create a move is a lot of times I'll try to find like really, really weird and out there music, and I find that really helps me because I don't know if it like activates different areas of the brain than I normally would activate or whatnot. But I always find when I'm like listening to like experimental music that I don't even know what genre is classified as, it always helps me create. So that's something I wanted to point out. I remember once I was listening to like the Splatoon 2 soundtrack and that was getting me going. So I think for me, finding really weird things has helped me. And like you said, I think usually high tempo is usually better for creation. I don't really have much opinion on practicing, but what you said definitely makes sense.
You
I'm
kind of
following
need.
up just on the music topic, and this wasn't in the show notes, but it's something I would like to talk about that I just thought of. What do you think the best music to make a Cardistry video for would be?
Well, something you kind of made me realize just now is something I noticed like literally the other day is maybe hearing music for the first time, like hearing a song you've never heard before, can spark creation. Because I did like kind of get an idea from a song recently. I mean, it was a song I'd never heard before. But you were saying, what's the best music to make a Cardistry video, like to edit a Cardistry video too? I think it's what excites you. So like, I used to make videos to the music that I would listen to, like the most at the time, like whatever song I was just like on repeat, that was the song. But once we when I started making videos for Komorebi, I stopped doing that. So when I'm making it, if it's a solo video for another cardist, I ask them like for their Spotify Wrapped or for like what do you listen to like every day, and pick something sort of in that genre around one of those artists. Like I used to use a lot of like Chief Keef, Playboi Carti, Future is one of my favorite artists, and those guys always ended up in my Cardistry videos. But like in the future, I'm gonna do all kinds of stuff, like anything that excites you and that you can see like your cardistry going to that music. Like if you can see it in your head, that's the song. But then I know people who wouldn't agree with me.
And one thing I really have enjoyed from you guys over at Como Rebbe is you guys haven't been afraid to go into some really different music genres and music that you wouldn't normally associate with Carstree video. I know the video with Jack has Faye Webster's song, which I really enjoyed. Very much slower paced song than what you would normally consider. And then you guys also have a lot of really hard grimy rap, which it's really cool to see kind of those ranges that you guys are taking on, as opposed to kind of what's really common right now, which is like almost like experimental electric. I don't even know what to call it, but I feel like there's a very similar sound on a lot of popular videos right now.
And I like that sound. I think it's really cool. I mean, I think that what's funny about Cardistry is, for me, Cardistry informed my music taste from a very young age. I probably got into like Cardistry. I was about like 15, right? And I was getting into music like from like certain electronic music that I wouldn't have found, certain rap artists that I wouldn't have found through the Cardistry community. And I still think there is good music in Cardistry videos from like most of the major brands right now. But I also think a lot of it is like kind of in the same genre, like you said. We just try to use something other than that, but it's a huge genre, like kind of like it's not IDM, but it's like that kind of thing, you know, beats. It's a lot of beats, and we try not to use beats. We'll use a lot of electronic music, and it'll be instrumental, but something with something dynamic.
And one topic that I definitely want to hit, I always try to hit it on the podcast, is the creative process when it comes to making moves. Because I think when I started this podcast, that was kind of the idea that I wanted to explore the most. So when it comes to you making moves, I'm sure we've covered a little bit with what you said before. But when it comes to you creating moves, do you have any certain process, or is it all just kind of random? What's kind of the style for you?
So it's like some people who have a really good stance on this are like Patrick Barnabas and Beckett, I think really have said it really, really well on like your podcast and others, that you have to have different ways to create. So one really good thing is to limit yourself, know what you want to create, know what's not in the box of like, you make a box of, okay, I want to move that sort of exists in this genre, if you could call it a genre, and you don't let anything else in. That's one way to do it, but you have to have other ways. I have a frantic mode. Sometimes I'll make a move and I'll finish the move in that like sitting, and that works too. No matter what mode you use, you always have to kind of edit after. You have to spend some time and like some people I know, I don't want to call anybody out, will make a move very, very quickly and film it very soon after. And that's their method, you know. I've been in that place before, but I think that it's a good idea to kind of like, yeah, regiment your creation. So I don't do the same thing twice. I think each move has its own creative process. It'll find you, or you'll like kind of put out a bait. And me and Linus's favorite filmmaker, or like one of our favorites, is this guy David Lynch, and he makes these very surreal movies that are often cited as being really hard to understand, and it's because the ideas are all found separately. And he has this really good quote about coming up with an idea is like putting, you've got a puzzle in the other room and you've got a fishing rod and you're fishing for puzzle pieces and you're pulling them out. And so the ideas will come one way or another, And the creative process is like the identity crisis of, is this going to be good? Like, is this going to work in a move? I don't think this fits with this move. Yeah, have multiple creative processes and find new ones all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely something Beckett had pointed out. I know he said he kind of thinks of it as like a toolbox, which I think is a really, really good analogy. One question more that I have is from Linus. He asked how your painting affects your cardistry, and that's something also I'm curious in because I love hearing about how other hobbies affect people's cardistry. So have you found that your painting has affected your cardistry at all?
Yeah, it affects cardistry like in the exact same way that like when I'm like at a time in my life when I'm working on another art, it's like I'm working on art or I'm not working on art or I'm not working on art. So when I'm painting, I'm nurturing that like creative spirit. I also get inspired. So I actually get inspired by cardistry in the painting. I think I started drawing and sketching more like hoping the opposite would be true, but it's all about nurturing that creative spirit. Like, the more creative stuff you do, the better all of it's going to be. I know that some people say like, you want to focus on one thing and not to be a jack of all trades, a master of none. But art is one thing. Like, whatever you're good at. I mean, whether you're painting or dancing, or any kind of artisanship, really, it'll complement your cardistry. Whereas if cardistry is like, I mean, I've gone through phases where cardistry is all I do. And cardistry is my sole source of art, but I'm probably not creating during that period of time. It's the other things. It's, you know, drawing a picture or working on music that'll actually give me the energy to make a new flourish. So that's sort of how they're tied together, basically.
Yeah, that's what I've seen from a lot of people on the podcast too. Is a lot of the people that I would consider very creative individuals and have made really impactful moves, in my opinion, oftentimes have these other art forms that they participate in, like a lot of photography, a lot of skaters, a lot of things like that. I feel like pop up when it comes to people that are making moves. And I think kind of what you said is part of it is you're getting inspiration from these other things and then bringing them into cardistry, putting your own spin. And I think for art forms, like you said, it's good to have many art forms because they kind of all balance out each other. And you never know when you're going to be creative in one and not the other and stuff like that. So it's always good in my opinion, to have multiple creative kind of resources to draw from. I know for me, when I first started, I was drawing a lot from soccer, which is something I don't think a lot of people have tried to draw from for cardistry. And I would consider it an art. I know that might be up for debate.
It is.
To me, it's kind of like dancing. It's like a physical art, especially when you're doing it really high level and playing as a team, as a unit. I think it is art to me. So I know I've drawn some stuff from that, especially very early on. So it's always really fun to hear how people are drawing inspiration from these other, you know, other areas. And I think it all comes back to with the episode I did with Kevin Ho, where he says kind of like you're supposed to steal like a cardist or steal like an artist, where you're just stealing bits and bobs from other places and bringing it in. So I think it's really cool that you're able to do that with painting and music and all these other hobbies that you have, video making.
And you're really right. Sometimes you don't know what medium the art is going to come from. Like sometimes this happens a lot. I'll be doing cardistry and I'm actually compelled to work on music or to draw something or to write something. Like, it happens all the time, and it one means that I'm spend a lot of time doing cardistry, but it also tells me that no matter what you do, if it's interesting, I do see some parallels between soccer because of the nature of the juggling and the way it has so much to do with your body. I do see a lot of similarities to cardistry, and I compare skateboarding constantly. Like, I watch skate videos for cardistry inspiration. Like, it's just so applicable.
So at the end of the show, I like to do what I call roll out the close-up pad, and that's just my fancy way of saying, is there anything that you would like to promote or any last note that you would like to leave the audience with?
Just thanks for having me. And also keep an eye on Tacoma Revue Instagram and Tacoma Revue website, because we are planning some in-person events very, very soon. And both decks are in production. We had a lot of delays and a lot of like communication errors, like internally just within ourselves. But both decks are with their respective factories, and we're gonna be having some really cool in-person events very soon. Hopefully COVID numbers in our state will be lower by then. But yeah, stay tuned, and thanks so much for having me. This has been really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously, thank you for taking your time to be on and kind of giving your insights on cardistry. I know I really enjoyed it. As always, I'll have links in the description for Jorge's and Tacoma Revue stuff if you guys want to check it out. I highly suggest you do. I hope everybody learned a little bit, had a little bit of fun, and that's going to wrap up this episode of Cardistry Talk. It's been a fun one, and we will see you guys later.
Thanks so much.
Absolutely.